Paul Rudolph, the head coach of the Minot State Beavers, I believe is joining us right now via the Paul Bunyan telephone hotline. Coach, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Thanks for having me.
The annual Beaver Bash is tomorrow night in Minot, a newly renovated Herb Parker Stadium, from what I understand. Is this something that was in the plans even before the decision to try to make a move to Division II, or is this something trying for the little wow factor?
No, it was in the plans. You know, they'd been trying actually before even I got here a few years back. And had some things fail, and finally the president, he just stepped to the plate and said, you know what, we're going to get this thing rolling, regardless what the community wants to do, and ripped up the field and, you know, put down turf. You know, the stadium is still, I don't want to lead you to believe that the entire place is being fixed. The field has been renovated. The stadium still is a work in progress. Hopefully we'll get that here in the near future, but it sure is a nice surface to play on, very fair.
How is your team looking this year?
Well, you know, I'm thankful that we're still 0-0. I don't know that we're ready to play yet. Unfortunately, they're going to force us to tomorrow night. You know, after you've battled yourself for, you know, X amount of practices in the spring and X amount of practices in the fall, you know, sometimes I wonder just how good we are or how bad we are. You know, just because you start seeing the same people over and over, and I don't know. Sometimes it seems like we've learned a few things. I'm glad of that, but. I don't know. We need to line up and see where we're at. We're a little new in the O line. I'm anxious to see how they've matured a little bit, you know, throughout the camp and gotten better. But at the same token, I don't know how they're going to stack up against you know, pretty good experienced defensive front from Bemidji.
Well, obviously, you guys had a great season last year, tying for first in the conference, 7-1, 8-3 overall. You mentioned the offensive line, but what other holes to fill from maybe some of the starters that you lost are you looking at?
Well, you know, just on the offensive side to start with, that's the biggest one right there. We really, you know, we got experience back at quarterback. We got good experience back in the running back and receiver and tight end positions. I mean, we feel okay that way, but, you know, you got to be good up front, and that's obviously a question mark. And, you know, you move over to the defensive side, and we're probably not going to be the biggest team in the world, but we do have some height, and we do have some kids that can run around a little bit. So if they can make up for that with some speed, we'd certainly like to think that we can move around a little bit. It remains to be seen what will happen if we get somebody coming right at us. You know, but we do feel fairly comfortable over there with some guys that have played and been through some battles, and hopefully can line up and keep it close anyway.
Well, this Beaver Bash is a big deal between Bemidji State and Minot State. If you guys do end up in the NSIC, how will this change the annual event?
Well, I guess it'll probably be played in the middle of the year instead of at the first game of the year. But I don't think it'll change. I think, you know, I think they've been playing since right around 2000, and hopefully they can keep it rolling from whether it's a regular season contest or in a conference contest as opposed to a non-conference. I think you still have some fun with you know, with the fact that it's the two Beavers going at each other here up in the Midwest, and hopefully we can maintain that long-standing good competition game.
Head Coach Paul Rudolph of the Minot State Beavers with us. Annual Beaver Bash is tomorrow night. Our pregame at 6:30. Kickoff at 7 right here on Light Rock 92.1 The River. Coach, what in your mind will be the biggest change in how your program runs if you are indeed accepted into D2 and the NSIC?
Well, you know, the things that we've addressed, you know, it's really in recruiting. You know, we don't feel like we've got the same type of kid, you know, as the two kids from Bemidji that they have out there at defensive tackle and defensive end. And, you know, we got to get a little bit more girth there like those guys have it. And we'd like to think we got to probably get a little bit faster in the secondary. And then the same thing in the offensive line. You know, we just got to be able to find those kids that you can develop that have good size. And after a couple more years in the weight room, they really blossom into a good all-around player. That's probably the biggest thing that, you know, the teams that we got beat by last year, Bemidji, the University of Sioux Falls, we just did not match up with them in the O-line and the D-line, and that's where we've got to make a big step.
Well, talk about that process of applying for, trying to get into the NSIC, and how does that play out? You obviously announced the intentions to do that, but it's a longer process than I think most people realize.
Well, it really is. You know, it started a couple. Well, we're in year two now, is what they tell us. We passed year one, I guess, and now moving into year two here, and we have to follow NCAA rules. We have to do everything that the NCAA allows us. But at the same token, we don't get any of the benefits that the NCAA allows other institutions. We're really kind of out on an island from a recruiting standpoint, with letters of intent, with all of the other things that go with recruiting. We have to follow all the rules but get none of the benefits. So they leave you a little high armstrong from that standpoint. And then we got another year next year where we have to continue to do the same thing. Next year we're an entirely independent schedule, which is really unique. Trying to put together an independent schedule up here in the Northland is not the easiest thing to do. So we're on the road a lot next year, and then hopefully we can find our way. You know, they have a site visit. I think our site visit is October 20th and 21st, where there's six people from the Northern Sun, faculty reps, athletic directors, compliance people that come in and basically go through your department. They go through your athletic department, your compliance, if you're following all the rules. They check out your community, your facilities, really just kind of compare apples to apples if they can, with us and some other institutions in the Northern Sun. And we got our fingers crossed that they find what they like, what they see.
You're
I think we're comparable to most of them.
And you're looking at least not knowing anything until, this time next year at best?
Well, I don't know if it'll be that long. I guess I don't know. I really don't know what happens and what the time schedule is after that site visit in October. If I know the Northern Sun gets together sometime in September, and then I believe they get together again at the NCAA convention. I don't know if there would be a special meeting or if it would happen at the NCAA convention. If they, I know they have to do some things with schedules, so I would assume that if they could do something at the NCAA convention, whether it's yes or no, they solidify schedules one way or the other. Obviously, that would be good for the league. I'm lying to you a little bit because I just don't know that answer.
Kel, I'm going to butt in here for a sec. Refresh my memory, Paul. Randy Hedberg, your AD, and Roger Thomas, the AD at UMary, go back a ways, correct?
Well, yeah, but let me correct you. It's actually Rick up here.
Not Randy, darn it.
It's Rick, yeah. I worked with Randy. I've been around the Hedberg family for quite a while of career. I worked with Randy at St. Cloud and played for Randy, and then Rick's the athletic director here. And Rick and, Roger and Randy go way back coaching together, and then Rick actually worked for Roger at the University of North Dakota. I'm not exactly sure the years, late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere around there, where he was an assistant athletic director under Roger. So they do go back a ways. Yes, that is correct.
So safe to assume that since UMary just went through this whole process a couple of years ago, that there's been a few phone calls that have been made that direction?
The University of Mary, Roger, has helped us quite a bit. And I believe, you had to have a sponsor, so to speak, to that would help you along this way or this path, so to speak. And the University of Mary and Roger Thomas specifically was Minot State sponsor. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Their coaches have told me, they don't want us in the league. They just soon be the only NCAA Division II institution out here. But at the same token, Roger's the guy that's kind of put us on his back and taken us along that path. So, yeah, it's funny how things work out.
Well, Paul, I know you mentioned that there are certain positions, obviously, that you'd have to recruit a little differently for when you do get into the NSIC. But I notice as I'm looking here, they've got the breakdown by state and province. You've got a number of kids from Florida, California, some from Canada, Alaska. How would your recruiting change, once you get into the NSIC? You've got a ton of schools here in Minnesota and the Midwest. Do you continue to reach out to those outlying schools, or how does that change your dynamics?
Well, that's a good question. We've had that discussion quite a little in the last 2 years, and wondering which route we go and where we head to and what's going to be a decent, fertile recruiting ground. Having been in Minnesota for 7 years prior to here, I certainly wanted to try to get in there, and we've got a handful of kids, but, it's pulling teeth trying to get those guys to cross the border, especially when there's so many institutions right there in their home state. So we've really tried to branch out, and we've gotten into Washington a little bit and dabbled over there, and we've gotten down into Florida. We've had some experience in previous spots recruiting in the state of Florida, and that's probably our number one spot is where we're thinking to try to find some speed and then a little size out there in Washington and see if we can't get them to make mine at their home for a few years.
Well, Paul, you can be honest here. You don't have to hold anything back because Jeff Tesh is in Minot already, and he won't hear your answer. How do you try?
They are in Minot. I know that.
Yeah, they should just be getting off the practice field pretty soon.
Yeah, they've actually practiced right after we do here in a few minutes. So,
how in the heck do you plan on stopping the two-headed monster that is the BSU quarterback position?
I tell you what, that poses itself a good problem. That's a good football team. I'd rank them right up there. Probably those two guys aren't as talented as the kid that Sioux Falls played with last year, the things that he could really do, but arguably they are right there. I think they are as good a two-headed monster as you call it. It's going to be a battle because, one token they can throw the football, but at the same other token you got one back in the backfield, but you almost have to look at it as a two-back offense. And that's unfair because we have to play with 11 and you basically count them as 12. So, It's a good question. We're going to see if we can confuse them a little bit, but they've been through a lot of battles. I don't know if that's going to work. We're going to kick, fight, and scratch and, see what makes of it. But, they're a good football team, no question about it. You are exactly right. That is a two-headed monster.
Kicking and fighting and scratching, by the way, is a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see they want to get rid of that WWE, so I don't even know if we can try any of that stuff.
Were you surprised at how good the Beavers ended up last year? I mean, they came into the season, a lot of question marks. Not sure how they, would fill a lot of holes. And obviously returning, a ton of starters this year. But last year's season, I think, took a lot of people, at least, here anyway, by surprise as to how well they did.
Well, I guess it didn't surprise me a whole lot. I thought they were a pretty good football team. I was really impressed with their front seven on defense. And I thought, man, those guys get after it. And, visiting with some other people in the Northern Sun as the season progressed, we were on with our evaluation. We thought both those two tackles, and their names slipping me right here at the start, 90 and 93. I thought they were two of the better guys we saw in the last couple of years.
Ron they're Wills good. And Jordan Lardnoise.
Yeah, they're good players. They are good players. And then the other guy that was an awful good player, you just couldn't get around him. He was a senior. I think it was Anderson, number 24.
Yeah, he won't be on the field tomorrow night.
No, thank goodness. We haven't got around him in 3 years.
There weren't too many that did.
No, so, we'll see if we can try our best against this next guy, but I don't know. That was a good football team, and then obviously their offense just kept maturing and maturing, and then, obviously at home kept maturing and made some great plays, and then, the young man out of Wisconsin, the second head on that monster, comes in, and he can get out and go. Whew.
Well, Paul, I know you've got one young man on your team this year who hails from Bemidji and happens to be the son of one of the Beaver BSU Beaver coaches.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
How did you win over Trace Yonner and keep him from playing for his dad?
Well, that's a good question. The fact of the matter is Rich and I go way back. We've been we were teammates here back in the 80s, and we've been in touch with each other for, I've been up there fishing with him, and we've been pretty good friends ever since. It's not, and we certainly, we thought he was a good football player coming out of high school, and we still think he has a chance to be a really good football player. He's fought some injuries, but we were happy that he chose us, and actually elated that he chose us, and hopefully Rich thinks the same thing. I think he does. The good thing about that is he can still cheer for the Beavers 11 weeks out of the season.
So will he be starting in tomorrow night's game?
He won't start tomorrow night's game, but he'll be in the game. There's no doubt about that. But he won't start it, but he will be in it.
It sounds like there's a pretty good contingency from Bemidji that's heading over to Minot to watch that game tomorrow night.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. We'd certainly like to show them as much of the facility as we can, the new field turf, it really is nice, man. They did a great job on it, and we're very fortunate. And hopefully we can get them down on it, and they can see that we'd love to be in that league, and they can say good things. And hopefully we can just keep the game close so they can watch it for 60 minutes.
Well, Trace had a lot of inside information from all those years of his dad. Is he able to at least clue you in a little bit about the defensive schemes? Or
is Rich going to... Oh, we haven't tapped that at all. You know, that's, you know what I mean? That I'd love to say, come on, Trace, give me everything. you know what I mean? It's the same thing with Rich. You know, he calls me up last year. He's like, hey, Rudy, we're done with spring practice. You mind if I come over and watch your last spring scrimmage? I'm like, absolutely. Get over here, you know. And that's, you know, you can look at that however you want, but at the same token, he's a parent who wants to watch his kid. And he's a good person, and we're not going to frown on anything like that. We got too good a relationship to let bygones be. We're going to have some fun and good family, and we're certainly looking forward to it. A little tough, though, huh? How about that? He's got to make adjustments on the defensive side while our defense is out there, and he can't even watch his own kid play, you know?
Can watch him on film. Watch him on film.
That's right.
Paul,
that's right.
Paul, we appreciate it. We'll let you get on out to the practice field. Thank you much.
I certainly enjoyed it. You guys are welcome out here anytime.